And I want to say you might not have been ready today to go to worship in Richmond, but it is so fun, parents and kids. So keep that in mind for next Sunday and the Sundays to come, that it really is a good way to spend your time. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. See, I told you it was fun. That's right. I think it was my announcement that had them running. Today is the second Sunday of Easter. Easter isn't over yet. The season of Easter lasts 7 weeks, and it ends the serious season of Lent, where we focus on our shortcomings, our failings, even our own vulnerability and our mortality. Easter is the season of celebrating. Somberness, suffering, and death have given way to life, resurrection, and joy. We're meant to linger here in this place for a while, even though difficulties and trials may be going on all around us. We're meant to shift our focus to joy. This is not a denial of the pain of the world. Perhaps in defiance of the pain of the world, we choose joy. The poet Wendell Berry writes, "Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts." In this season of Easter, we affirm that this is the day that the Lord has made. We were meant to rejoice and be glad in it. This, right here, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're meant to revel in it, to relish in it, to ruminate upon it. In the season of Lent, we focus on different R words. Did y'all pick up on that? Repentance, restoration, and revival. Now we move to a different word, reclamation. We are reclaiming joy. When I was young, particularly during my late elementary and my middle school years, my grandfather would take me over to his garden to show me what he was growing. He'd start the garden every year from scratch, tilling up the soil and planting seeds. There were always the standard veggies, green beans, tomatoes, okra, corn, and butter beans, or we called them butter beans. Sometimes he'd plant cantaloupe or watermelon. Once he got really adventurous and he tried pumpkin. That was the only season that happened. Whenever we went to the garden, he always wanted to teach me something. It was kind of like life's lessons with Papa. Sometimes I got the lessons and sometimes I didn't. But what I did get from him is that Papa was the embodiment of joy. He always had a smile or a laugh. He'd crack a joke or dance a jig, and he did call it that. He'd sound off key when he sang, and he sang always, always very loudly. During those days, I was so joyful too. I loved being outside for hours and hours. I loved playing with my friends and my cousins and inventing new games. And believe it or not, I loved being the boss. I'd ride my bike for hours. We'd hop from house to house in the neighborhood. It didn't matter if kids were in the neighborhood. If they would feed us something sweet, we would go to their house. We enjoyed each day and would stay out until it got dark. Then we'd try to catch fireflies at night, or we might play kick the can. The days were soaked in sunshine, and the nights were kind of soaked in a kind of magic. Each day felt like this is the day that the Lord has made. Have any of you had any days like that? Yeah, I hope so. Do you have those still? I hope so. Today is Confirmation Sunday, and we're celebrating it right here, right now. Some of our confirmands were baptized this morning, which was a beautiful celebration. The confirmands have been learning and studying and retreating and reflecting and growing this entire school year. Back in the day when they were in confirmation class, many of our baby boomers and our greatest generation would have studied something called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Raise your hand if you studied the Westminster Shorter Catechism growing up. Yeah, there are a few of you. Raise your hand if you had to memorize the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Yeah, somebody in the back. So they had to memorize it. It was really hard work. But I'll sum it up, because it really can be summed up in the most important question of the catechism. The first and most important question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify and enjoy God forever. It's the primary question that we should be asking on our lifelong journey, not just our confirmation journey, but the journey of all of our lives. What is our goal here? What is the purpose in our lives? And the most primary answer that there is to glorify and enjoy God forever. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, we see joy as the major theme. This is not because suffering didn't exist in the world during his time. It did. In fact, Paul is imprisoned at the time of writing this very letter. He's imprisoned for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ that has changed his entire life. He's imprisoned because of this gospel of love that struck him down like a bolt of lightning. The whole reason Paul is writing is to express his gratitude and his joy to the church that he founded 10 years before and that continues to support him and to go out and share the gospel despite the risk. Gratitude and joy often go hand in hand. One of the quickest ways we can find joy is to think about, pray about, and even list the things that we're grateful for. And if you want to do that with your pencil, with your little golf pencil while I'm talking, you can do that. Paul opens his letter, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy for all of you." Joy will set the tone for this whole letter. The word rejoice or joy is used 16 times in this short letter. As he writes, Paul is imprisoned alone. There's a painting by Rembrandt called St. Paul in Prison. I invite you to look it up when you get home. Google it. St. Paul in Prison by Rembrandt. It's really striking. In it, Paul looks tired and weary. He's deep in thought, sitting on a bed in a room by himself with a big book on his lap and a pen in his hand. He's only wearing one shoe, like he did not have enough energy to even put the other shoe on. But there's this light shining in through the window panes on him. It's like hope and joy are calling out to him. Something else beyond the solitariness and struggling is waiting for him. Paul's life was hard, as were the lives of the rest of the people in the early church. He knew times of loneliness, alienation, persecution, and even great physical suffering. He spent many years going in and out of prison, and yet his words to the church at Philippi are rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We've all been through some challenging, even lonely and alienating times these past 2 years. Many of us are still attempting to rebuild our lives and reconnect our relationships. Some of us are having to start from scratch, it seems. And we're seeing so much suffering and sadness all over the world, especially as we watch a war rage on. But God has more in store for us. There is a peace that passes understanding. The Apostle Paul writes, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have." He's content here, rejoicing that they care about him, even in his distress. This letter is filled with joy. So much of the Bible is filled with joy. The angel says to the shepherds, "I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Come into God's presence with singing." Isaiah says, "You shall go out with joy and be led back with peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." And when we sing that at the end of this service, you can actually clap your hands in here. Psalm 118 from today says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Sunlight streams in every morning to remind us that this right here, is the day that God has made. This day, joy awaits us as a gift. We can't postpone that joy. Let's not wait for another day. Let's rejoice today. Sometimes joy can be hard to find. Sometimes we have to actually seek it out. We have to make space for it. We might even have to dig for it. I think about my grandfather's garden. Some of the vegetables were right there for the picking, like the bright red tomatoes or the green sugar snap peas. But some vegetables we had to dig for. We had to root around and even get a little messy to dig up that orange sweet potato. All of you confirmands are about to enter the season of your lives where you're in high school. And there can be so much striving for success. You know this already. There can be lots of competition with classmates, and you can even feel pushed by your parents. No comment. From day one in high school, your grades will matter more than ever before. And you may have a fear of failure like never before. This is all true about the high-achieving culture that we live in, but there is a greater truth that I really want you to hear and that I want all of us to hear. We are made for more than this achievement. We are made for joy. It's our job as the congregation that agreed at your baptisms to help raise you in the faith to remind you of this. It's our job to remind them of this. And this means we have to practice what we preach. We have to live our example. The chief end, the purpose of all human beings is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. This means we, each one of us, need to make space in our lives for joy. We need to not take ourselves so seriously. There's more to life. We were created for more than desks, books, computers, and news. We were created for more than clients and capital, for more than emails and texts. We were created for more than projects and productivity. We were created for more than stocks or even social media. If our lives are only focused on school or work or our responsibilities, on our achievements, or our children's achievements, or our grandchildren's achievements, we are missing the point. We are missing the best that God has in store for us. Jesus says in John's gospel, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Psalm 16 says that God shows us the path of life, and in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. So right here, right now, in our beautiful but rather serious sanctuary, this pastor gives each and every one of us permission to play. I give us permission to look for that abundant life where there is fullness of joy. Don't stop searching until you find it. Even if you're busy with other important, even hard and time-consuming priorities, I encourage you to find joy. Make time for it. Make joy a priority. Even if you're working a lot, you're studying a lot, you're parenting a lot, you're caregiving a lot, you're in the midst of an illness or grief or sadness, seek out joy, even if it's hard to come by. Paul encourages us saying, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." During the pandemic, when I was feeling isolated or sad, I painted. I didn't know anything about painting before, but ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to learn how to paint. So I took advantage of all the online classes, and I started. I learned, and I'm still learning. And it brings me so much joy. It has helped me get through stuck places, and it has showed me possibilities. I made space for joy. Sometimes creativity can help us connect with more joy in our lives. Last weekend, after what felt like a pretty long week, my husband and I went to see a concert at Cocobooth Amphitheater in Cary. We were kind of tired going into it, but seeing live music is one of our favorite things to do, and we have not been able to see much live music. So we summoned up the energy, and we went to see the Bee Gees tribute band. I got to drink a glass of water for the phone. This band played music from the Bee Gees' long career, and about halfway through the concert, they announced that for the rest of the night, they would be playing songs from the soundtrack, Saturday Night Fever. We were having a blast before, but it got so much more fun. That night was 2 hours of pure joy. I think my face was hurting from smiling the entire time. We laughed and we sang loudly, staying alive, staying alive. The crowd danced and danced, and I danced and danced, and I may or may not have done a couple of disco lightning bolts, and I may or may not have listened to that song on the way to church today as a psych up for this morning. We took a break from all the seriousness of Holy Week and our work weeks, and we surrounded ourselves with joy, and I'm looking at my husband right now, and he is still smiling. It was time well spent. We vowed to each other that we would go see the Bee Gees, the Bee Gees tribute band, every time they came back to this area. What about you? What brings you joy? Music, art, being in nature, singing in the choir, going to the farmer's market, being with friends, family, sports, knitting, game nights, gardening, writing, petting a dog, or maybe even a cat, listening to the birds, sitting still, dancing. What brings you joy? If you've lost touch with what brings you joy, it helps to think about what you loved as a kid, maybe even as a little kid. That's a seed God planted in you way back then. Maybe it's time to harvest that seed. Dear friends, let's go into this week rejoicing. Let's rejoice in the things that we can rejoice in. Let's celebrate our risen Christ, celebrate all the joys of our time together this morning, celebrate these wonderful confirmands, celebrate that we have a safe and beautiful place to worship and celebrate, and that we are surrounded by a family of faith here in the congregation and out there in the interwebs. Let us rejoice that we have been given this gift of a Sabbath day to worship, to rest, and to play. And let us take time today and throughout the days to come to find our joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, alleluia. Amen.